Greetings and blessings, friends. In this video, I want to talk about how you can use ordinary situations in your life to become more conscious. But before we do that, let's talk about what it means to become more conscious. In the ordinary sense, if you're not literally asleep in bed, then you're conscious, right? So what does it mean to become more conscious? But if we look carefully at what it means to be asleep, you'll notice that you actually are conscious to a certain degree even when you're sleeping. Because if you weren't, then you wouldn't get woken up by a loud noise or by someone poking at you. Obviously, even when you're asleep, you're conscious to a certain degree. So this actually gives us a good way of understanding what it means to become more conscious or be less conscious. As long as you're alive, there's some consciousness there, but there are different degrees or states of consciousness. Here's another example. Imagine that you're a sighted person. You normally use your eyes to see, but you're walking around at night and it's completely dark. But even though you can't see anything around you, you're still aware that you're outside. You're aware that you're moving through space and you can feel that the earth is under your feet. You can also put out your hands and move slowly so that you don't run into anything. And when your hands touch something, you can tell whether it's a tree or a wall or whatever by the feel of it. So in this scenario, you're conscious of what's immediately around you, but you can't see what's going on at a distance because there's no light. So if you are a sighted person, then the presence of light increases your consciousness of your physical surroundings. Now let's move from the physical level to the emotional feeling level. Imagine that a loved one does something disturbing at the dinner table and you get annoyed or angry at that person. For many people, feeling some negativity towards others when they act jerky is a pretty common experience. But then imagine that this annoying loved one starts to choke on some food, God forbid. Instantly, your whole experience changes. In the face of this threat to their life, whatever you were feeling a second ago is completely nullified, and you leap into action, do the Heimlich maneuver, or reach into their mouth and pull the food right out of their throat to save their life, as my wife recently did, by the way, for our daughter. Thank God. So now what are you feeling? Suddenly you're so grateful that they're alive and safe, and you realize how blessed you are to have this person in your life at all. Whatever negativity you were feeling a moment ago means absolutely nothing in the face of what's just happened. In other words, your consciousness has just expanded tremendously on the level of feeling because the situation itself forced you to be aware of what you normally take for granted. It's not that the person's behavior is no longer annoying, it's just that the blessing of their mere existence far outweighs whatever annoyance you might have felt. The annoyance becomes trivial in the light of the big picture. And you can see in that expression that I just used, in the light of the big picture, that light is once again a metaphor for consciousness. That's why spiritual awakening is sometimes called enlightenment. If you're walking around in the dark, there's still awareness, it's just more limited compared to when there's light and you can see things at a distance. If you're feeling grumpy at someone you love, there's still awareness, it's just more limited compared to when you become conscious of the gift of their presence. We all experience different degrees of consciousness all the time. Similarly, when we're talking about spiritual awakening or enlightenment, we're talking about a radical increase in consciousness that's fundamentally different from all other levels of consciousness. How is it different? This week's Torah reading is Parshat Tetzaveh. Tetzaveh means, "and you shall command." It begins with God telling Moses, "Ve'ata tetzaveh et b'nei Yisrael," and you shall command the children of Israel, "V'yichu elecha shemen zait zach katit lama'or," they should take to you oil from olives, pure, crushed, for illumination, "L'ha'alot ner tamid," for kindling the eternal flame. So what's the eternal flame? It's your awareness that's there all the time, whether you're asleep or awake, whether you're angry or open-hearted, there's always this basic awareness there, so you don't have to create it. It's already tamid, it's already constant. But you do have to kindle it, so to speak. Just as when you're in the dark, you're aware of some things, but then you turn on a light, and your awareness is greatly increased. So too, there's a different kind of light, laha'alot ner tamid, to kindle the eternal flame, meaning to increase your awareness that's already there. And how do you do that? You need shemen zayit, olive oil. Now, olives have a hard, inedible pit within them. Similarly, there's ordinarily a hard, seemingly impenetrable pit at the core of who we are. From the moment we wake up in the morning, there's the sense that I have woken up. You feel angry at someone, there's a sense that I am angry. If you let go of the anger and you get all expansive and forgiving and loving, there's still the sense that I am expansive and forgiving and loving. That's the pit. The pit is the I. And just like you can't eat the pit and transform it into nourishment, so it seems that the I is irreducible. No matter what experience you have, it's always you that's having it. But just as the olive fruit is crushed along with the pit to make olive oil, as it says, zach katit, pure and crushed, so too that hard sense of me, known as the ego, can be crushed into oil, and that oil becomes fuel for consciousness, fuel for enlightenment. So how do you get the oil from the olive pit of the self and burn it in the light of awareness? Paradoxically, it's the opposite of what happens when you turn on a light and you can suddenly see far distances. Turning on the light involves an expansion of the content of your awareness. Or if you go from being angry to being open-hearted, that also involves an expansion from the narrow focus of whatever made you angry to the broader context of the person in front of you. But if you want enlightenment, if you want to burn the oil of the me in the fire of your awareness, then you need to actually reel in your awareness from its ordinary involvement with all kinds of thoughts and judgments, which are the very things that keep the me going, by the way, and instead let your awareness rest in the actual truth of your experience in this moment. Being present with your feelings as they arise and fall, being present with your body and the rise and fall of your breathing, and being the perceiving presence behind your thoughts. In this way, you let go of the mental urge to know and understand things, which is what creates that sense of me, and instead, you feel yourself as the luminous presence within which the mystery of this moment is unfolding. There's a wonderful hint of this in the next line. It says, Be'ohel Moed, in the tent of the special time of meeting, that is, in the tent of meeting the present, Michutz laparochet asher al ha'edut, on the outside of the concealing curtain that's over the tablets on which the Ten Commandments were written, and that's where Aaron will kindle the eternal flame. Now the word for the tablets, edut, actually doesn't mean tablets, that would be luchot. Rather, edut means testimony or witness. This witness is behind the parochet, behind the curtain. You can't see the witness. And this is exactly the nature of consciousness. Consciousness sees everything else, but just like the eyeball, it can't see itself. It's essentially a mystery to itself. So what you get in spiritual awakening is not any new piece of information or expanded knowledge, but rather the awareness of the nothing, the isness beyond all understanding, that's forever behind the curtain, so to speak. And yet, you are the witness. You are behind the curtain. You can't understand consciousness, but you can simply be conscious. You can simply be present. And that's the awakening out of the dream of the mind. But to do this in a really deep and transformative way, the olive pits have to be katit, crushed. This means that when suffering comes your way, when things go wrong, or when you suffer loss, or when you experience anger, or worry, or fear, bring your awareness into the feelings. Let the feelings be without elaborating on them too much with your mind, without blaming, or trying to figure out how to avoid them in the future. Instead, let their energy crush the pit of ego. It's not necessarily pleasant, but it's temporary, and it leads to greater and greater illumination. to help remember, you can say to yourself repeatedly, whatever suffering comes my way is for the purpose of illumination. So write that down and say it to yourself over and over. And in this way, any ordinary situation that brings suffering can be an opportunity to increase the light of consciousness and ultimately to open to greater joy and bliss in simply being. So as we approach this Shabbat Tetzaveh, the Sabbath of Command, may we all receive this mitzvah, this commandment, to ignite the eternal flame of awareness with the oil that's pressed out of us through whatever suffering happens to come our way. And as our light increases, so too may we transform our actions and habits to crush any stuck patterns of negativity and open to the blessing that's waiting to pour through us. The chant we'll do comes from Psalm 36, verse 10, which is traditionally chanted when you put on your tallit in the morning. It says, Be'orcha nire or, in your light we see light. When we chant Be'orcha, in your light, we're acknowledging that this light of consciousness within which this moment arises is far more than that contracted olive pit called me. It's your light, the light of being, the light of reality, the light of Hashem. Then when we chant Nire Or, which literally means we see light, let's hear it as we are the light that sees, or more simply, we are enlightened. Let's sing. Keeping in mind that everything that is within your experience right now on all levels are all happening within the light of awareness, and we don't own that light, but that light is the mystery of being. It is your light in the sense of the light of the divine, of existence. And in that light, we are enlightened. So giving your attention to that light, to the luminous space within which this moment is arising with Lecha. Lecha. And taking your left hand, putting on your belly, and bringing your awareness to inhabit your body, flowing down into your hips and down into your legs, down into your feet and toes, rising up into your heart and lungs, your shoulders, relaxing any tension, down your arms and into your hands and fingers, shining upward into your face, relaxing your face muscles, bringing a little smile to your lips, and feeling the flow of your breathing. Chanting Na'ase, breathing in. Na'ase. And bringing your right hand to touch your forehead, aware of the open space, space of the eternal present within which everything appears, Venishma. Venishma. Of the chant while also dwelling within your body, inhabiting your breathing, and we'll sit for 7 minutes. once again, bringing your hand to your heart, offering your attention freely as a gift to this moment with Lecha, breathing in. Lecha. Bringing your left hand to your belly, connecting with your body and with the flow of your breathing. Na'ase, breathing in. Na'ase. And bringing your right hand to your forehead. Vinishma, aware of the space within which all experience arises. Breathing in. Vinishma. Atahu, until next time.